is the MAB 100 and why did we build it?
You have to think of the MAB 100 as a FTSE 100 of the prints and multiples world. The idea came to us when we were talking to a lot of investors in this space, as we do through our own algorithm, Singularity X, about how we can evaluate the investability of a print. Now, there are many ways that people look at alternative assets and how to invest in them. Most are looking to collect for passion, but they're also looking to understand the return on an investment. And I think the most important part of this is giving the transparency that's needed in the marketplace. One investor, a friend, came to me and asked, surely there was a FTSE 100 of the art world. So what we did is we built the MAB 100, which really took into account the same sorts of sensitivities that you would need in order to track an asset at that level. The reality is that you can't do that outside of the prints and multiples category. And those sensitivities are really two things. One is the actual expenditure within a particular print series. And the other is the sale of that artwork through a number of years. So in very simple terms, we're looking at value and liquidity in the print market.
Why is the MAB 100 and the algorithm focused on prints and editions?
The algorithm Singularity X was set up really to be able to track our own private collection of artworks and to be able to consult with collectors on the best investments to make in the marketplace. The reason why this works in the prints and multiples space, you have a set of data that you cannot acquire in the originals unique marketplace. So if we take a series of artworks, say Choose Your Weapon from Banksy or the Marilyn series from Andy Warhol's portfolio, mm-hmm. you have a number of data points over the last 30 years, sometimes just 10 years or 5 years is all you need to be able to watch the value of an artwork move through time and therefore be able to at some point predict the future of what that asset might do. If you take an original, that artwork has no counterpart in the marketplace. You can, of course, track the value of the artist's market, which is also a data point that we use in Singularity X, but you can't really tie it back to the supply and demand in a marketplace. And you also can't tie it back to various things that might affect an artwork's value. That might be provenance, that might be condition, that might be even location of sale, which auction house it was sold at. And then the other thing is other indices only look at auction public data. Mm-hmm. So this is really important in this space. So if you're looking at public auction data, 10 years ago, that was a really useful place to look. Most of the blue chip works that we buy and sell and auction houses buy and sell actually did happen in the public auction sphere. There were dealers. There were definitely dealers that were dealing with them in the private sales division. Mm-hmm. But these days, that's not where most of these sales take place. It's estimated that only about 34% of prints and multiples go through public auction. And then you have to consider sell-through rates. Sell-through rates are really the most important metric that auction houses track. An artwork that's consigned and not sold is an immediate loss. And it's also incredibly difficult for a seller because it means that artwork has been burnt at auction, at public auction. And just to describe what that is, it means that an artwork goes up for public auction, it's marketed, it's given an estimate, it's given a value in the marketplace, and then it fails to meet the reserve, which means that it is deemed essentially in fair market value terms as worthless, which is a serious issue when you look at the provenance and the history of an artwork. What we take into account is how many of those works are unsold. So instead of looking at maybe a Hockney has gone through sale 10 times in the last 10 years. The problem with that is it may have been offered at auction 15, 20 times and not met reserve. I mean, we can go deeper into that perhaps later on how those reserves are set and how it complicates things further. But we look at private sales data. So we've been valuing prints for the last 15 years. We hold all that data. We know where it was in the market at that time. And we also tie in other private sales data that we need to in order to ensure that that valuation is as accurate as possible. I mean, in the world of AI, that's become in many ways more important than ever. You know, if you want to sell a Hockney iPad drawing. The person you really want to talk to is the expert in that marketplace.
Okay.
The reality is that there's only maybe one or two of those people in the world, and even they have to stay on top of every single work that goes through public and private sales. If we're able to build a product that can use those data points to inform that value and back it up with personal expertise, then we're onto something.
How does the algorithm work with My Portfolio?
So just to explain what My Portfolio is, it's a wallet where you can upload the artworks from your collection. You can also upload artworks that you're looking to acquire, artworks that you just wish to watch because you may be that one step further away, anything that you're looking to sell so that you can see in real time what the potential value return is in the market at any given time. Alongside those artworks, you have the SingularityX algorithm, which is using both public and private data, plus repeat regression technology that allows us to look across print series and understand the influence of one colorway to another colorway, or a set of prints, how might that affect the individual print value and vice versa. You can store that alongside your collection, so you can log in at any day or night and see in real time where the value sits in the market. And that might have changed because of a private valuation that's happened on the private market. It might have changed because of a public auction record that's gone through. It might have changed because an artwork has been unsold at auction. All these variables that you have to take into account.
How does all this solve some of the problems collectors face in an opaque art market?
So I think the unique part of this product is there's multiple different data points being used within the algorithm to come up with values. And then I think the other part of this is the trading floor. So there's, you know, transparency in the art market of actually what demand there is for a certain artwork in a secondary art market and what supply there is in the art market is something that has been the most difficult challenge for collectors to overcome. Just to give you a real-time example, if you can sign an artwork into auction, and you're happy with the reserve and it's all set to sell in November, you have no way of knowing if there are also three others from the same series. Again, this harks back to why this is so important with prints and multiples. You have no way of understanding what else is going to come to market at the same time. You have no way of understanding whether or not they're going to consign it alongside five other works from the same artist, but maybe perhaps much more important artworks. You only have a certain amount of people at that time that are going to be interested in buying that artwork. If you saturate that market, you will really struggle to release the true value of your work. What the trading floor allows you to do is look at the supply in the market, in our private marketplace, alongside the auction records and the public data that is available, and make a decision.
What is problematic about the way estimates are decided elsewhere?
If you walk into an auction house during an evening sale, the bidding process is very strategic. There's a mistake that people make with bidding and understanding what true value is. The idea behind it is that auction are able to sell something at the true value of what it's worth because they can determine that by how many bids are against something. But the strategy starts well before that. When an auction house consigns something, they bring something to market at a value that they think it will sell, but they also need to ensure it sells. So setting the reserve at a place where they can attract bidding, because of course, bidding directly influences perception of demand. Five bids, six bids leads to seven bids. Then that dictates the importance of that artwork in that room, online, on the telephone. The issue you also have is that sellers expect to release a certain return from their artwork. So they will not want to set the reserve too low. But as I said before, an auction house's most important metric is sell-through rate. So bringing an artwork in too high and allowing it not to sell is the worst thing that could possibly happen. So you're already starting from a strategic pricing point of view that isn't necessarily a true market value for that work.
Why now? Why has no one done this before?
I mean, we're in a very different world to where we were 3-4 years ago. Why now? I think people want control you know, it's an unregulated marketplace. Anybody can be an art dealer, and anybody can advise you on the value of the artworks that they're looking to sell. And the agenda behind that can be multitude of things. And by the way, releasing this data doesn't make our job actually that much easier. We were using this data in the background all the time. We had this light bulb moment of saying, actually, if we just give people the data we're using, we built the product, we were using it internally in order to advise people. And, you know, the trading floor is really just our CRM system released on the front end of the site. These are tools that all art dealers use. The difference is that we're just giving them out, we're showing them. And it doesn't make our job any easier, but it does make the collector's job easier. And if you can make the collector's job easier, then you can do something that is game-changing for the business.
How does the product create access for new investors considering the art market?
People who manage people's investments, they're really intrigued by the art market. But things they don't like is the lack of data. They don't like the fact that there is no data. They don't like it because they don't understand it. They don't like talking to people about it who understand it more than they do. Nobody does. Nobody likes to talk to somebody about something that's going to affect them dramatically when they don't understand the conditions and the context that they're making these decisions in. The concept of the art market is illiquid, and therefore the interest in it at the moment is based on the fact that other investments are more difficult at the moment. I think if you are able to unlock some of that so that they can see it in a language that they understand, that can be really, really useful to people. And really, the MAB 100 is sort of the shop window for what the Singularity algorithm does. The top 100 are artworks that are not accessible to everybody. But what they do show is the combination of those artworks being the most liquid in the marketplace and the growth potential within those artworks. You know, and it's the most important thing is not to look at that as a first stop place to make a decision. I mean, you know, you'll notice straight away that there's an awful lot of Banksy prints within the MAB 100. Banksy is an artist who has, since 2018, and since when those prints were first sold for £150, £75, has done something that none of us could ever have predicted. That market has boomed, and it is now correcting. So the MAB 100 is not a top pick. So that's not necessarily what it represents. What it represents is showing the breadth of activity in an artist market.
Where would you start as a novice art investor?
If you look at artworks that have propelled in value over the last 5 years, I think it's a really good barometer of where to start, particularly if you're looking at a relatively short-term investment, if I'm talking 5 to 7 years. If you're looking to release value from a collection, and the great thing about prints and multiples is if you have a £2 million budget, you can diversify. You know, you don't need to put it into one particular artwork or two major artworks that might take decades to accumulate value. You can put it into multiple artworks, and then you can make tactical decisions on when to perhaps release those artworks from your collection and where to buy deeper. You know, the really exciting thing about what we do is watching collectors collect and then really sort of effectively part exchange what they've bought. So they'll enjoy an artwork for a certain amount of time. They will find the financial returns too attractive to hold that artwork at a certain degree. What's really exciting is that you can look at another artist that perhaps you haven't explored. And that's really where investment and passion become incredibly powerful.
How does this product create access to new investors?
As I said, this is not for somebody that is not interested in collecting art. We haven't turned the art market into a finance game. It really is about making good decisions in the decisions you're making from a passion point of view. You know, buy artwork that you love, buy artwork that you're going to enjoy, that your family are going to enjoy. I always describe it, Erin, a little bit like buying a house. You mean, when you buy property, you choose property that has potential. And that's really what you're doing with artwork. You're choosing an artwork that brings you joy, but has maximum potential. However, talking about accessibility, I don't think there are very many people that know the level at which you can buy a David Hockney, an Andy Warhol, a Damien Hirst. We don't know. People don't know. These are blue chip household names that people equate with millions and millions of pounds. That's not the case in the Prince of Multiples market. And as I've said, there's much more potential in them because of the way that you can diversify and you can buy and sell and you can keep track of that data, particularly using the My Portfolio wallet.
What's your ultimate objective with the MAB 100?
The point is to create a marketplace that allows for information to be drilled down into by the collector themselves, by the client themselves. So the MAB 100 wallet is a gateway to that, and it demonstrates the strength of the tool, is really the shot window of what we're doing here. And give control. Control is really important. And I think if you can put people in control and give them the tools in order to make the right decisions at the right times alongside their own preference, rather than waiting for an artwork to come up at auction, rather than buying an artwork that's coming up at auction when really you would prefer something slightly different. We have that conversation a lot with clients and investors. What I really want is this, but there's not one out there at the moment. Well, that's our job. If you really want that artwork and we have access to it, which in terms of the Prince of Multiples blue chip category, you know, we do, that's what you should be looking to invest in. Equally, you might think that you want a certain artwork because of its investment potential, but actually, have you looked elsewhere within that marketplace? And the ability to compare and contrast those options instead of waiting for whatever's coming up in auction next month is really where this piece changes the game for collectors.
And anyone can access the value indicators on our platform and indeed the MAB 100 for free.
Anyone who's built a product for private consumers will know that the most important part of building anything like this is clients, is their feedback and their use and their use cases and their criticism. You know, we love criticism as much as we've had a huge amount of complimentary feedback on what we've built so far, and a lot of our long-standing established collectors with my art broker, you know, they're the reason that we built this. But the ability now, in order to optimize it and improve it and make it bulletproof really for a collector, regardless of what they're looking to collect, is absolutely our main focus. So please do reach out to us. Please do use it and please do feedback. That's really what's going to make it the most important piece of technology that we've released over the last 5 years.